Calling all seniors, it's never too late to be a teenager. Puzzles, recipes, birthdays, memories, and much more are found in the Teenager newspaper. Teenager News is published for senior citizens as an outreach ministry of Catholic Charities. Subscribe for free by calling 312-655-7425. That's 312-655-7425. Or email teenager@catholiccharities.net. That's teenager with a K, teenager@catholiccharities.net.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit catholiccemeterieschicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM, 930 AM, and 1270 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m., 930 a.m., and 1270 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, Chicago, and welcome to Made for Life, the radio program sponsored by Marriage and Family Ministries. I'm Amanda Thompson, and I'll be your host for a very special program on marriage enrichment. And today I have two wonderful guests with me, Kathy and Steve Byrne. And Kathy and Steve, welcome.
Thank you.
And you guys are coming to us by phone from Portland, Maine, is that right?
That's correct. We are. Yep.
And you still have snow on the ground, I'm assuming?
Oh, yes, we do. We have a fairly good cover of snow still on the ground, yep.
Probably until June, I assume.
We're hoping late May.
Yeah. That's great. Well, can you tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Well, I'm a native New Yorker. I was born and raised in New Rochelle, New York. I'm the sixth of seven children. I went to Catholic grade school and high school there, and then went to Chestnut Hill College in Philadelphia, which was a Catholic women's college. And after that, I worked in an adoption agency and then in a Montessori school. Then we got married and began a family. And after four children, I went back to school for a master's in child and family development. I've taught at child development at a local community college, as well as working in marriage and marriage enrichment and marriage preparation. We wrote a book called Family Book of Scripture for our Sunday Visitor Press, and many articles on marriage and family. We have seven children and five grandchildren, and our grandchildren are from age six to age two. They're little guys.
Wow, when you said that you went back to school after four children, I thought you stopped there. But then you just said that you had seven children. So
yeah.
Wonderful. So you were able to go back to school and still have more children as you were doing all that. That's
actually
wonderful.
Yeah, I was pregnant with the fifth one while I was in graduate school. And luckily she was born in June, because I wouldn't have fit behind the desk if it had been any further along in the pregnancy.
Wow, what a wonderful accomplishment. And what a wonderful gift to your kids to show that learning continues on even as we grow older, as we are busy with family. There are ways to continue that, which is
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah, we sat and did homework together at the dining room table.
Yeah, so. That's great. Now, how about you, Steve? Tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm also from the New York area. I was born in Brooklyn, New York. I'm one of six boys in my family. My mother had three pregnancies, and then she got pregnant for the fourth time and said to my father, I think this pregnancy, it's going to be a girl because the pregnancy feels so different. And the day after Christmas that year, my twin brother and I were born.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
But I grew up with my brothers in New York, and then we moved to Pennsylvania, then to Ohio, and finally back to New Rochelle, New York, where when I was in high school, Kathy and I met. But we were, and I'm a Catholic school kid straight through, all the way through college. I studied philosophy at Providence College in Rhode Island, and then theology. I got a master's in catechetical theology from Manhattan College in New York, after which I taught in a Catholic high school in Long Island City, New York, for 2 years. Moved on to be the director of religious education in two Catholic parishes in Morristown, New Jersey, and actually was the first lay person hired in ministry in the Diocese of Morristown, Diocese of Patterson, excuse me. And then we moved to Boston in 72, and I worked in religious education in a parish where we developed a family-centered model of catechesis, which was very exciting, and I took some graduate courses in the psychodynamics of marriage and the family to learn more about how families function. And then in 1977, we moved to Jefferson City, Missouri, to open an office of family life ministry for the diocese there. And then in 84, we moved to Portland, Maine, and we've been in Portland, Maine ever since. I was the director of the Office of Family Life Ministry, Respect Life, and Natural Family Planning for the diocese for 14 years.
Wow.
In 1993, Kathy and I started publishing a newsletter for newly married couples, and we've been doing that as our full-time ministry and other publishing since 98.
Wow. Well, you are a powerhouse couple. Wonderful experience and great work in ministry. So how many years have you been married then?
Oh, last Friday was our 48th wedding anniversary.
48th. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, that's lovely. And so we have the golden wedding anniversary, and I figure that'll lead me into a little plug for Marriage and Family Ministries. So anyone here in the Chicago area who's been married for 50 years can come to our golden wedding anniversary mass, and the Archbishop will be there to go through renewing your vows and preside over the mass and celebrate with the jubilarians. And that will be August 30th. So you have two more years, and then you can
come
out to Chicago and join us.
We'd love to. Thank you for the invitation.
That's great. Well, with this wealth of experience with engaged and married couples, let's talk a little bit about the trends that you've seen over this many years in terms of what the couples are dealing with and what I imagine your newsletter has changed a lot, too, in the issues that you're talking to these couples about.
We talk about a lot of the same issues, but we talk about different aspects of them at this point. As I'm sure you and probably your listeners know, there are fewer couples getting married these days, and there are fewer church weddings than there used to be, quite a few less, actually. And most of the couples that we see are living together before marriage, so that's a big change from when we first started doing marriage preparation. There's a wide diversity in our audience. There are more people coming to marriage preparation who already have children. More people are marrying partners who have no religious tradition in their background. It's not that it's an interfaith marriage. It's a Catholic and somebody who hasn't had any experience with religion in the past. And so that's very different, too. And even those who identify as Catholic often don't have the same level of religious knowledge as people used to have when they came. They don't know the Bible stories. If you make reference to Jonah and the whale, they don't know what you're talking about very often. But even more importantly, they don't know what the Catholic beliefs are around marriage. They don't understand the words covenant and vocation and sacrament and that sort of thing. The level of instruction around those issues has really increased. So while they have a lot more life experience and experience of being on their own as adults, they don't have as much of a grounding in sort of the Catholic understanding of marriage.
Do you find that they're open to learning?
Oh,
they're curious.
Much.
They're probably
very
curious
much.
Too.
You know, they have chosen to have a Catholic wedding. That's another big difference. You know, 10 years ago, even I would say, a lot of people who came because mom wanted them to come, or grandma would be disappointed if they didn't get married in the church. They're coming now because they want to come, and not because of any pressure from family members.
Well, that's a different dynamic. And actually, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, we lament, we talk about how our weddings have gone down from 16,000 to 6,000. But what you're saying there is a little different, because they're taking it seriously. They're making the choice themselves. They're coming with this life experience that couples in prior generations haven't had. So that is actually kind of a hopeful dynamic in some ways, too.
Right. And we need to be very respectful of where they're coming from. Many of them, their wedding is sort of the crowning achievement of a long relationship. They've many of them have moved in together. Many of them may have even started a family together or bought a home together. And so this is, in some ways, the end of a process rather than the beginning of the process. When Kathy and I married, we were right out of college. We came home from college, lived with our families, and then we moved right into marriage. So we didn't even live on our own before we got married. Our children, all our seven kids, have moved out and are on their own, and subsequently some of them have married. But for these couples, they've been out on their own for a long period of time. And I think we need to be aware of that, and we need to listen to them and talk to them with the understanding that they have this life experience, and also to journey with them on this life journey that they've undertaken. And
You're
they've
right.
moved in to a really important part of their life.
Yeah. And you know what? We are actually going to take a little break now, and I definitely want to continue this discussion, especially about this new beginning, this new journey that you'll be taking with them. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Have you ever considered the priesthood, not sure what to do about it? Then the In Search Discernment Group might be for you. Each week, men from around the Archdiocese of Chicago gather to pray and learn more about the call to the diocesan priesthood. The group is open to college seniors and young professionals. The Discernment Group starts in October and meets each week from 7 to 8 p.m. at the Quigley Pastoral Center downtown. If you would like to learn more, go to chicagopriest.com.
Many couples don't understand the beauty of natural family planning because of misinformation of its effectiveness for achieving or postponing a pregnancy, or they have never been told about how it works. Marriage Ministries has created an easy way for couples to learn about NFP. It is available on a website called learnnfponline.com and is a course that teaches the Billings ovulation method on demand, so you can work through it at your convenience. Through this online course, couples will watch a video of the science, rules, and application of the method with a testimony from a young couple using NFP successfully. If you are working with engaged couples, preparing for marriage yourself, or are already married and would like to draw closer to your spouse, check out Learn NFP Online for yourself. Go to learnnfponline.com or marriageministries.com today. And we are back with Made for Life, and I'm Amanda Thompson, and I'm talking with Kathy and Steve Byrne. They're the creators of the Foundation's newsletter, Facet, a Premarital Inventory, as well as a book, Catholic and Newly Married, and many other resources too, which we'll get to in a minute. But I just want to go back to before the break, we were talking about honoring where these couples are coming from and almost changing how we relate to them when they do come for pre-cana's and different things like that. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yes, I think so, Amanda. One of the things that we say to couples when they come is we're delighted that you're here. Mm-hmm. Number one, because you want to get married, and in today's culture, a lot of couples never get married. They just live together. So you've chosen to be married. We're delighted that you want to get married in a church because you, in some basic sense, you see God as part of this commitment that you're making. And that's wonderful because we here at the church believe that God is an integral part of our life, our married life together. And then finally, you want to get married in the Catholic Church. And we're thrilled because this tradition is so precious to us that we'd like you to know more about how we view marriage and why we hold it in such high esteem. So we're not trying to force them to agree with us. We're simply holding up what we cherish and asking them to consider it. And so we really believe that we're trying to treat them respectfully as adults, as fully formed adults, and inviting them into a dialogue about what's the deeper meaning of their relationship and their hopes and dreams for the future.
Yes. Another difference, I would say, between couples that we used to see and now is that they've been raised by a generation where divorce was rampant. And so even if their own parents weren't divorced, probably many of their friends had divorced parents. And so they saw the fragility of marriage. And they're looking for, they really, you know, for the most part, I would say, want one marriage for their lifetime. And they're kind of relieved that that's what we're holding out as a model for marriage.
Yeah, and it almost feels like a moment for a little bit of introductory catechesis, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Where you're definitely introducing them into this relationship with Jesus, into the relationship with the church that they haven't, most of them haven't felt before.
Right, and even though they haven't felt the relationship with church, many of them feel the presence of God in the having met this person that they want to spend their life with. They see God's hand in that, and yeah, we want to capitalize on that, you know, sort of moment of openness.
What do you think with a couple who's cohabitating? What do you think that draws them to want to take that next step in the couples that you've talked to? Is there any specific moment that makes them want to turn this into a deeper commitment, would you say?
I think for many of them, it's the idea of wanting to start a family. You know, I think that for those who haven't already started a family, they see that as, you know, they recognize that that's going to be the safest, most secure place for their children. And so they say, yeah, we're ready to take that step because we want to take the step of becoming a family.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And marriage provides a kind of shelter for their adult life. And also there's a communitarian aspect to it as well, that the church provides a support network of other committed couples. And these couples realize that because they look around and they see family members and friends whose marriages have ended badly, and they know they can't just do it by themselves. They need help. They need support.
Yeah.
And so they'll come looking for that. And we try very hard to say, yes, you can do this. This is possible to have a lifelong, committed, faithful, and holy marriage. We work at it every day, and we invite you to do it. And we're here to support you, not just as you prepare to be married in the church, but we're here for you after you're married. So if you need to come back, we're here, at this whole faith community, to support you in any way that we can.
Yeah, and I would imagine, too, with couples and people being so transient, moving away from their original homes that they grew up in, their neighborhoods. A lot of people, you know, go away for college, then they get settled where they are, take jobs in other places. The church provides that type of support when they start to think about starting a family and having children, and that is vital, too. So I could see that. Go ahead.
I think that's one of the reasons why back in 1993, NACFLAM, the National Association of Catholic Family Life Ministers, and Kathy and I partnered to put together this newsletter for newly married couples called Foundations, because it was a way of supporting them into the early years of marriage, not just to say it's all over once the wedding's over, but to say we want to provide ongoing support.
Yeah, and I'm hearing that more and more from families that they'd like more marriage enrichment. They want to feed their marriage. They're, you know, mm-hmm. 10 years in, 15 years in, mm-hmm. we're at a place where we're not communicating well. Can you help with that? We're at a place where, you know, things are getting a little rocky. We've spent all this time with young children, raising young children, and now we're not sure how to relate to each other anymore. So that type of marriage enrichment, have you seen that's something people are asking for?
Yes, for sure. We've done a couple of sessions for different parishes in our area recently to try to serve exactly that need. And some people know it's out there. Some people come and they say, I never knew something like this even existed, you know, that we could get this kind of ongoing enrichment. And so that's really gratifying when you can offer something to somebody they didn't even know was there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we are going to take another break. And when we come back, we'll hear about the resources that you have available on your website and some of the stuff you're doing with Marriage and Family Ministries here in Chicago as well. So stay
Great.
Tuned. I'm sure you've heard the wonderful news. Pope Francis is coming to Philadelphia for the World Meeting of Families in September. Would you like to go? Marriage and Family Ministries is partnering with Faith Journeys Travel Company to host a pilgrimage to Philadelphia. This is a 7-day, 6-night trip to the World Meeting to attend the Congress and papal events. For more information, please go to familyministries.org and click on World Meeting of Families. All are welcome, so begin planning for this historic event.
All right, everybody, let's pray the rosary.
Don't forget to say grace.
We have to do what God wants us to do.
My mom laid the foundations for me to discover God.
How does this bring you closer to God?
The path to holiness is in doing God's will.
If you are called to be a priest, that's how you will be fulfilled.
My mom helped me get through difficulties in my discernment.
Think of the big picture.
Keep things in perspective.
Are you praying?
My mom played a huge role in my journey to the priesthood.
She still does.
Our moms nurture our vocations.
Without my mom being who she is, there's no chance I'd have entered the seminary.
My mom says she had a feeling I would be a priest.
To hear the call of God, we need to be in a position to hear it.
Hearing God starts at home, with the family.
Thank you, Mom.
I would not be at the seminary if it wasn't for you.
Our seminarians were encouraged by their parents to discover God's call in their lives. Do you encourage your son? St. Joseph College Seminary, the best place to discern. For more information, visit cometojoseph.org.
And we're back with Made for Life, and I'm talking with Steve and Kathy Byrne, the creators of the Foundation's newsletter. And Steve and Kathy, tell me about this newsletter, and again, how many years have you been doing it, and how did it develop?
Well, we've been doing it more than 22 years now, and it developed because exactly what we were talking about before, there was an understanding that when couples get married, they sort of fall off the edge of their connection with the church, that they've you know, gone through marriage preparation, and that was great and intense, but once the wedding happens, they don't necessarily see what the church has to offer them. So the idea of the newsletter was something that would go right into their home, that it would help to bring forth the same level of skills and things that they need for their marriage, but that they got in pre-Cana, but now that they're in marriage, they realize more fully how they need those skills.
Because the wedding is over.
Right.
So now you're actually dealing with real life, day-to-day issues.
Yeah. When I was in graduate school, I heard that when people are expecting a baby, they are not really interested in hearing parenting tips, that they're so so interested in getting that baby out that they aren't really thinking about how they're going to take care of the baby after it's there. And I think a lot of that is true for marriage preparation as well, that they're so focused on the wedding that sometimes they're not listening as thoroughly as we would like them to during marriage preparation, but it's after they're into the marriage and they say, you know, oh, whoops, we don't know how to handle this thing, that it's nice to have some tips to in their toolbox.
I agree 100%, and we fell in love with your newsletters, and now every other month we're going to be using your newsletters as part of our e-newsletter. So anyone who's newly married a couple of years, and would like some marriage enrichment can go to our website at www.familyministries.org and sign up to receive a once-a-month newsletter, and Kathy and Steve are gracious enough to share their newsletters with us here in Chicago every other month.
So. We're really excited about the idea of sharing through the online articles. That's a whole new way of getting that message out. And we do research all the time on marriage and the ways to make marriage better. And sometimes we uncover things that don't fit directly into the topics we're covering in the print newsletter. And so this is a way that we can use some of that material. And something we came across recently was a researcher named Randy Olson, who took information that had been gathered from many, many surveys and on married couples, and he put them all together into graphs about the likelihood of divorce based on different factors. And again, I think most of us know that if you have a child before you get married, that increases the likelihood of divorce. But something he pointed out was that if you attend church regularly, you have a much less lower likelihood of divorce. But if you attend church just sometimes, then you have a higher likelihood of divorce than people who don't go to church at all. So that was kind of a surprise to us.
That is very interesting. So where would one go if they want to reach your resources? Where would they go on the Internet?
Well, we have two websites. We have one for foundations, which is foundationsnewsletter.net, and then one for our premarital inventory that we've developed called Facet, and that's facetsite.com, Facet, S-I-T-E, right, .com. So,
okay, so facet.com and foundationsnewsletter.net if you want to reach out for those resources. And your Catholic and Newly Married book is through ACTA Publishing, is that right?
That's right, right, Chicago publisher.
Yeah, wonderful.
Just went into its second printing, and it won an award from the Catholic Press Association, so we're very, very pleased that people seem to be enjoying it.
Okay, one important thing that you want to say to couples, because we only have about 2 minutes. One important thing.
Well, early on in our marriage, Kathy said to me one day, "Do you love me?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Why?" And I said, "Because you're beautiful and you're intelligent and you have a wonderful sense of humor." And she said, "Okay." And a few months later, she said to me, "Do you love me?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Why?" And I said, "Because you're beautiful and you're intelligent." And she said, no, you already gave me those reasons. I want new reasons.
Ah.
So that's been going on for 48 years. Uh-huh. And every few months, she'll ask me. And she isn't the same person I married 48 years ago. She changes, I change. And one of the most important things we believe is to keep that in front of you. Why do I love my spouse today? Mm. What is it that's special, unique, and God-given about them? And how are they a gift to my life? If people could keep that in the forefront of their minds, it would help them so much, I believe.
Yeah, and if they'd share it out loud once a month, you say to
absolutely.
Each other. Amazing. Well, what a gift you are to engaged and married couples, and we're so glad to be partnering with you here in Chicago as well to share your experience, your wisdom, your resources for these couples. This is a generation that I think wants to learn and grow in their relationship, and these tools are a wonderful way to stay connected. So thank you for this. I want to just give a quick shout out about the World Meeting of Families that you heard the PSA, but also we have a Catholic Family Day on June 14th at Great America, discounted tickets to the park, and a special mass with Father Ron Hicks, our new Vicar General, when the park opens. So check the website for the details on that. Thank you, Steve and Kathy.
You're so welcome. Thanks for asking us.
And God bless you and your wonderful work, and continue to do the great things that you are for couples around around the country. And stay tuned for another program on marriage and family ministry next month. God bless.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for the Catholic Community of Faith. You can stream our programs live or download past programs by going to our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV.